This is Infection, the Survival Podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, August 16th, 2016, episode 83. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the Survival Podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter, infectionpodcast.com is the website, and if you're on gab.ai, you can follow me at Nick. Hello, everybody. Joining me again on Google Hangouts.
It's the new thing, gab.ai, and they haven't even sent me an invite yet, so...
That's because you're late to the game.
I am not there. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, if you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, since that's where I still am, of course, we have our infectionpodcast.com. Make sure you check that out and get into our Discord, so... as far as our game of the week last week, I was out of town, so I couldn't do that.
You didn't miss anything. I can assure you that.
But I heard it wasn't the best.
I don't want to harp on this, but it's like, you know, people just keep asking for games and then we do those games that people ask for and then they don't show up. It's like, don't request a game if you're not around. It's not the first time it's happened too. It seems like every time somebody requests a game, like, oh,
so we just need to keep picking them ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. I just need to pick them myself. Exactly. Because, you know, we take recommendations and then the recommendations lead to nothing. So,
oh, well.
Yeah, we'll see. Not a big deal. So coming up this week is Left 4 Dead 2.
Next week. Do we have set what next week is going to be?
Yeah, Left 4 Dead 2. That's what's
Left 4 Dead 2. Yeah, okay, well, that one went really well last time.
Yep. So we'll be there Friday night. We'll do Left 4 Dead 2. I don't know if I'm going to be here. I'm not going to make any plans. If something comes up, something comes up. I'm not going to kill myself to be here for these game nights.
Because this is four-man teams anyway, so we have to pretty much split into four-man teams for Left 4 Dead.
Correct.
So, you know, however many teams of four we can put together, we'll do.
Exactly.
Now, next week, I am not available on Tuesday.
Yep, so we'll be here on a Monday.
First time it's me.
Thanks.
Yeah. And so we're going to do the show on Monday, and this is kind of something I just found out.
Never mind. So, that's Monday.
Yeah. So I have a family thing going on. So yeah. So I will, we'll be here on Monday next week. And then after that, we should be fine for Tuesdays for me.
Yeah. So there we go. Live, next Monday. So
next Monday,
Eastern,
put it on your calendars.
Yeah. Put it on your, add it to your Google calendar. All right. Let's get right into it. You know what? Let's just get right into it with No Man's Sky, because that is the it wasn't on the top of the list, but I had so many people have been literally people have, but like somebody in chat said, I'm here just for your No Man's Sky review. So yeah. Brian and I tend to go back and forth with these games. Brian will buy a $60 title, I'll buy a $60 title. We flip flop back and forth. So it was my turn to buy one, and it was No Man's Sky, which I saw at E3 last year. Did the Sony in-theater experience for E3. Saw it on this huge RPX movie screen. It looked freaking epic. It looked awesome. There's been news coming out for it for months. It got delayed by 2 months. You know, I didn't have an issue with that. Okay, that's fine. They're going to make the game better. It's going to come out. It's going to be better and better than ever. So the game finally comes out 2 days later on PC. And the PC launch was an absolute freaking disaster. You had people with GTX 1080s, which are literally the top of the line cards that you can get, behind like the Titan X, getting like 10 to 17 frames a second, like, unplayable, constant crashes with the game. The initial loading screen, you're supposed to press E, but you can't tell that it's an E. It's just a little icon. So people are saying there's a bug that you're stuck at the screen. You're not stuck. It doesn't prompt you to actually press anything.
So people are just sitting there waiting.
From what I've seen, the PC version is a PS4 console port directly over. It's not a PC version of the game. Which is, of course...
So not optimized whatsoever.
Although, and the problem is that really pisses off the PC community, because nobody builds games for the PC. They build them for the PlayStation or the Xbox, and then we get all plain English, we get the shitty version of the game. Because you take the copy that is so optimized to work on a PlayStation or Xbox, and then it's like, oh, okay, PC peasants. Here you go. Just, you know, we'll make this subpar port for you. Almost every game has a subpar port.
Well, that's the thing is with things like the Xbox and PlayStation, they can tune it and they can make it work as good as it's going to work on that hardware.
Yeah.
The problem is then when you turn that around and take it to PC, you don't have the set of hardware requirements, you know, this list of hardware that it's going to run on.
Yes.
I think it would almost be easier to make it for PC. And then you can tune that game to be what works well on a PlayStation and an Xbox.
Yeah. I have a feeling they'd have those.
It might go well the other way.
I have a feeling they have those same issues. But it's just this game, again, episode 82 of the show was No Man's Hype. Yeah. And I'm certain of it was at least No Man's Hype for the beginning. There are issues galore. First of all, it's not multi. There is no multiplayer in the game. No. This developer was on interview after interview. I watched a 4-minute montage of him on all of these different TV shows, all of these different interviews, saying, yeah, we can't wait for the multiplayer. Multiplayer this, multiplayer that, multiplayer this. There is no multiplayer in the game. This is a $60 subpar release, in my opinion. This is practically an indie game. And I know this is one of their first games, but you can't say you have multiplayer and then go, whoops, surprise, there is no multiplayer. You cannot see other people in the game. You cannot interact with other people in the game. This is a single-player game.
Do you think they would have had a lot of people not buy it if it was marketed as a single player game? Because there's a lot of people that will have nothing to do with a single player game.
No, because the whole thing is the game was, it was supposed to be multiplayer, but the chance of seeing somebody was supposed to be so low that it was a multiplayer, but pretty much not multiplayer, which is fine. But you can't, there is no multiplayer in the game. There is people that have been in the same solar system together and not seen each other. Like they both fly into the space station and they don't see each other. That's not multiplayer. You can't. And here's the thing that really pisses me off with the game. And this isn't my review. This is just my, you know, my overlooking opinion of it.
Yeah.
This is a $60 title. I spent $59.99 on this game.
Yeah.
And it's a broken piece of crap. It's a broken piece of crap. I was getting a stuttery 17 to 25 frames a second originally. I was getting less than 30 frames a second on a GTX 960. And I have an i7. So how is anybody that has less than, God forbid you have an i5 with like a 950, because you're totally SOL. This is a $60 title. They clearly didn't do enough QC on the PC version to know that it doesn't freaking play on anything. The 1080 had issues playing this game. The 1080, it's the newest card that is out. There's an FPS cap that limits it, that starts at 30. You can up it to 60 or 90 or to 120. But this is not a game that should have been released on the PC. They should have just released it on the PS4.
Well, that's the thing, is they priced it as a AAA title. That's the thing. Any game that's $60 is priced as a AAA title.
Yes, exactly.
And coming, and when you think AAA title, you're thinking this has been beta tested. This is final release. Because what game is $60 in alpha or beta?
Well, that's the thing. When I buy a Call of Duty, which I buy every year for $60, I know I am getting a complete and finished game. It's going to work. It's not it doesn't not work. Every single year, while there are bugs, every single year Call of Duty works. Every single year it works. There's never an issue where you go, oh, this Call of Duty doesn't work. No, of course not. It's a $60 title. And the same thing with No Man's Sky. You can't release a $60 title that doesn't work. Yeah. I mean, the reviews day of this game's release, the reviews were mostly negative, with less than 67% of the reviews being positive. Less than 67.
Yeah, that's the initial, not good.
Yeah, it was mostly negative. It was 7,772 reviews, less than 67% of them were positive. That's not good. And it's bounced back a little bit. I believe it's scattered now or something. I don't remember what they call neutral or something like that. It's come back more to the middle.
Yeah.
But I this is before gameplay, by the way. I went all this stuff. It's currently mixed with 40,000 reviews. 57 of the reviews are positive. 57% of the reviews are positive.
Okay, I was going to say 57. That's
no, 57. That's horrible. But think about that. That's over 10,000 reviews that are negative.
Yeah.
That's over 10,000 reviews that are
negative. It's going to take them a lot to get back from that, too. I mean, that's the issue is when you get this many negative reviews, you have to work your way back. And most of those people are not going to turn around and edit their reviews after they've made them once.
Yeah. So now I want to get into the actual game and what I actually thought of the game itself. So all of that aside, all of the clear lying, because they just flat out lied about the multiplayer. There is none. They just flat out lied about it.
They could have put some things in the code, but it's disabled. I mean, that is a possibility.
But then it's not. You can't
because
say,
it was broken. But, I mean, but it could but, be incredibly
again, but
broken.
You can, but you can't say you have a multiplayer. It's not even listed on Steam as multiplayer. It's listed on Steam as single player. It's listed on Steam as a single player. Steam achievements, full controller support, Steam Cloud game. It's not even listed as multiplayer. So the actual game itself, it is, if you are a Destiny person, you like Destiny, you like games like Destiny, I think this is a good game for you. I've played, let me double check. I've got about 8 hours played so far. So I've got a...
In No Man's Sky.
In No Man's Sky. So I've got, I've got a pretty decent. I've played enough of the game to know like what I'm doing. I believe my review is somewhat honest. The game itself is a lot of fun. Once you get past updating your drivers tended to fix a lot of the FPS issues. But once you actually get into the game, it's a lot of fun. You hop from solar system to solar system using these warp drives. You buy and sell parts from the space station. You mine different things. It's a lot of fun, to be honest with you. I don't normally like these kind of games. I didn't like Destiny at all, but so far, 8 hours into the game, I've had a lot of fun, and I've been continuing to play it. I'm going to continue playing it. It's exactly what it was. Gameplay wise, it's exactly what it was advertised as. It was advertised as a game where the objective, you're never really going to hit. There really is no end game. There is literally an end game, but it would take you hundreds of thousands of hours of playtime to actually get there without cheating, because you can only. There's some amount of million of planets, or solar systems, millions and millions. And
I think
millions
there's
of
billions,
solar, billions of solar. And it doesn't matter. There's so many. There's so many social.
It would be impossible for everyone to go to a separate one. I think.
Yeah, it was something. No, it was something like every person in the universe, every person in the world would have to play for like 8,000 hours to go to every single. Which of course is never going to happen because that's just crazy. So, in terms of gameplay wise, it's a lot of fun once you actually get into the game and play it. There's constant things you have to do. Like you constantly have to have fuel to power your life support. To power your ship, to power your rocket launcher, you have to power your warp drive, which tend to be a little expensive, resource and money wise. I upgraded my ship already, so we're seeing what's going on.
It's got to be a grind. I mean,
it is.
I think I said last week that if they can get a nice balance of kind of the hardcore player that wants the long challenge, versus also have some kind of fun things to do on planets for the people like to play 15, 20 minutes here and there.
Yeah, and that's the thing is you can play. I've played for a little spurts. You every time you go in and out of your ship, it creates a save point. And there's save points around the planet. I really haven't explored. Like Brian, I think you'd have an issue with this game because you'd want to explore every planet, and you really can't. Like you just gotta go to a planet, land it, just pick a spot, land, explore that, and then leave. You could literally spend hours on every planet. But you'd never do anything. So I will
see. That was my big complaint about Elite Dangerous is when looking at the one that lets you land on the planets is there just wasn't you'd mine something. There wasn't like stuff to do on the planet.
So there is plenty of things to do on the planet. So there's little space station things all over the little ground units all over the planet. You land. Yeah. Sometimes you have to break open a steel door. Sometimes you have to go in and there's a lot of puzzles and kind of math stuff in there to answer these questions, and then you learn how to speak the language of the other aliens, I guess you could call them, in the universe. Yeah. So there are things to do on the planets, but typically I dip down to a planet, find a spot that I look good, that looks good to me, land, walk around for 10 or 15 minutes, get back in my ship and fly away and check out the next planet. Because each solar system has like 2 to 5 or 6 planets and then maybe 2 or 3 moons. So it's not like you can sit in a solar system for hours and hours and hours. There's only 3 or 4 planets.
Here's a question that I did have. Maybe you can answer now that you've played it.
Okay.
What about the ships?
What about
them? Like, what is it, one ship? Do you upgrade that ship?
So
can you buy different kinds of ships?
So this is what happens. In the space station, which is every solar system has a space station where there's an intergalactic trading post. If other AI ships land there, these are AI, they're not people, and you can buy those people's ships, or you can upgrade your own, but you have to upgrade slots. So I spent, I want to say 500,000 units on a ship the other day. So now I have more of a fighter ship that's got better shields and better power. So pretty much what you do is you just...
Now, are they impressive looking? Like, that's one thing about League Dangerous is you have some pretty cool looking ships.
Impressive. They're not... They're more... So if you're looking for a Star Citizen impression, impressive, no. It's a cartoony impressive.
Yeah.
There are definitely cool looking ships. I've got one now that kind of looks like an X-Wing from Star Wars. So there are plenty of different cool ships. They're not like super detailed like an actual spaceship are. But there are. I have yet to see two ships that look exactly the same. There's big like cargo ship looking things that don't have like big wings. They're just kind of like big blocks with jets on the side. Then there's actual like X-wings and fighter jet looking things. And then there's some stuff in the middle and all the way through. So what you do is you buy stuff. You pretty much just buy ships from these other AIs. And that's kind of your upgrade process for ships. You find and unlock updates for your tool, your multi-tool and your guns that you have, which you can do. So there's lots of different things that you can do. But it's definitely a grind.
And this is something where I think they're going to have to just keep putting updates, because that's one thing that happened with like for League Dangerous, since it's such close of a game. They had put out a DLC that was supposed to be a big, like a big DLC after the fact. And people just got really mad about it. So they made the DLC so that if you bought that, you get all future updates for free. Like all future DLCs, pretty much. What are those things? A season pass.
Yeah.
So it pretty much had made the game a season pass. But they put in, planet landings and all those things. And they're doing more for really getting into the ship upgrades. But with that game, you can group up with people, have them be on your ship, I think is either an upgrade coming out or it is already, to where you can actually have people on your ship fighting with you and taking positions in the ship, or you can have them be your wingman, to where they can fly with you and you can go do PvP against other people. For some people, like that's what's going to drive them in this game. And if they don't have online play where you're actually able to fight other people and it's all just let's go search for resources, I just see the hype dying down like in a month. You know what I'm saying? Like you'll keep those hardcore players that are like, oh, I want to go find places that other people haven't done, or, really push myself. But that's kind of that's a small number of people, a type of a player compared to, I think, the number of people that have purchased this game.
Yeah. And I'm right now, see, even if there was multiplayer, it would be so, and this is not, I'm not at all, excusing what they did with the multiplayer, but even if there was multiplayer, you really wouldn't be taking advantage of it. I mean,
is this not really a PvP? Like, there's not, no reason to PvP. You're not fighting ships a lot.
There's no PvP, but you can. And I've gotten attacked and killed by AIs before, pirates that will come in.
Kill those, do you get a big?
I don't know. Like, I died, so I didn't get any.
So
I didn't get anything. But. I have no clue what happens if you kill them. I've only had one encounter and they killed me right away. So, I mean, that's my No Man's Sky review. If you were expecting like an MMO, then I don't think you obviously read about the game at all, because I see a lot of people that are complaining that thought this was going to be some type of MMO and it was never advertised.
Yeah, me and my 10 friends bought this and we can't find each
other. Yeah, if you bought it like that, then I have no mercy for you because you're an idiot. You never read what the game was never supposed to be an MMO. It was supposed to be a game with essentially billions of planets that you could possibly stumble.
Game.
Exactly, it's an exploration game. I mean, you could possibly stumble upon somebody else. So. All I'm going to say is, if you like an exploration game, if you like a game like Destiny, this might be a game for you. So you could check it out. I would. I'm not.
Maybe
I'll
get
it
when it goes down to $30.
Yeah. See, I don't see that happening anytime soon. So there was also an article out this week from them. So first of all, it had the biggest Steam launch this year. There were more than 200,000 people concurrently playing it at the same time when it released. So it's a massive game, and they've made their millions. But there was a report out this week, which, again, I don't know how much you can take this. You know, I don't know if you can take this with a grain of salt because they lied in the past. But all DLC will be free. They will never charge you for DLC. So that would really kind of make this a... I don't want World of Warcraft did charge for DLC, but World of Warcraft did massive updates to the game as well that completely changed.
And they charge you $15 a month.
Exactly. So I see this kind of being a World of Warcraft style in terms of the DLC. It's not going to be like DLC. Oh, hey, we added 20 new planets. It's going to be like a DLC. Like, hey, now you can do this whole new thing in the game. Like kind of like a Fallout DLC where it adds a completely new element to the game. Because there are things that they could add, in my opinion. They're adding there's going to be more of a crafting system. There's going to be a base building system at some point, I believe some of the rumors are. So, there you go. That was my own idea. I formed that myself. And I'm going to...
As your friend screaming in chat, that was me!
Yeah.
Give me credit.
So, it's fine. That's No Man's Sky. It's a $60 title. Doesn't have multiplayer. But again, I didn't buy it for the multiplayer.
I think I had said this is a game where they really need to, I don't remember, I think we were typing back and forth in Discord about this, but I said they really need to have you start out on your own planet. Like that would be a DLC, is you start out on your own planet.
What you do.
And yeah, but I mean, you own that planet. You can build a base on that
what
planet.
You do, you can.
Oh, is that how it is?
So you literally start with a crashed ship on a planet that you have to repair.
But you don't have a base on that planet.
No. But it's not a survival.
Okay, so I'm
game.
Saying is like you could have a thing where you have a like kind of your base where you can meet up with people, start trade routes and things like that.
I don't know if that. I don't think that. Here's the thing: you'd never meet up with people because the galaxy is so. You'd literally never.
So
meet
I'm
up.
Saying is if you had a home planet, like you could say, "I'm here," you know, like let's set up trade routes between our planets. If they came to your planet,
yeah, I'm not looking for a. I'm not looking for survive like a, you know, honestly, I don't really care about a base building system because it just doesn't interest me.
I was thinking not necessarily just like some place that you can call your base, like it could be pre-built, but it would give you extra things that you can do in the game.
Possibly.
Or
I'm not sure.
Maybe ways to communicate or to, I don't know, to map out new places.
They can, and I would assume will add.
I just can't think
like
of too much that they would add beyond other than just making things more random.
Well, no,
more variation.
There's plenty of things they could do. You know, I don't want to get into it too much, but there's all of these alien races that you talk and speak to. They could totally beef up the mechanics that you know, actually being able to have more conversation with these alien species and actually learn more about these planets that you're landing on. In terms of ships, they could totally add more stuff to the ships to upgrade. They could add more upgradable things. So maybe you could actually make a custom ship at some point. You really can't. A ship looks the way the ship looks. It'd be cool to have.
Or what about Falcon saying a space station? Like what if you could set up kind of like a waypoint space station out in the middle of nowhere that people can stop by? And if they use your resources or things
but
from
again,
that, like you can receive money.
Again, I don't think you understand the full. There would be no point of building that space station. There is a very good chance, even if there was multiplayer, I will never run across another person. Like there would be.
That's the issue. It's so big.
People
really
aren't understanding the scope of the game. I've been to. I mean, just a small amount. I've been to six different solar systems, Yeah. Nobody's been to any of those. So if I was to put one, put a space station in one of the solar systems, there's a good chance nobody will ever go to that.
See, the thing is like Elite Dangerous is the same size. It has, it's a mapping of our galaxy.
This is not a mapping of our galaxy.
Or actually of the whole universe.
No. This
so
is
I'm saying this is all the whole universe. Like Elite Dangerous is the whole universe. So it's the same size.
But you can warp across the universe when in this game your warp is limited by, you can pretty much warp two or three solar systems at a time. You can't warp across the entire galaxy.
You can't do that in this one either. That's why it's such a big deal to try to get to a farther away place. The thing is that they kind of start you in the same area, so you have a chance of running into each other.
Yeah.
But then there's those people who just are crazy about it, and like they'll just try to go farther and farther away. And like if you try, you're going to run out of gas and be out in the middle of nowhere and you'll die.
Yeah.
So it's like a big process to get to that point.
I am not interested, and I think a lot of other people are not interested in anything like that, because it's just a useless thing, in my opinion. I mean, until you've actually played the game and see like how big it actually is, like you can't leave a solar system without a warp drive. That's how you warp. So you're pretty much stuck within your four or five planets until you have enough resources to build a warp to get out. And when you get out, you're only going one solar system this way
or that way.
Exactly. At least towards the beginning of the game. So you can only go so far.
They put out earlier today a list of some upcoming fixes.
Yeah.
And it's in the experimental branch. So I guess you could probably, I don't know if that's limited. I think you could just mark yourself for the experimental and have access to these, but they said they are doing AMD Phenom support,
which, by the way, so, I don't understand why they're worrying about AMD Phenoms when they've got people with 1080s that are having issues. That seems kind of ridiculous.
Well, no, I mean, well, that's the graphics card, but they're talking about the actual processor.
No, I know,
it's
but
supporting AMD Phenom, which is still an older processor.
That's the point I'm making. You've got people with brand new,
I think it wasn't working at all with Phenoms.
Oh, okay.
So they put in the code to make it work with Phenoms, period.
Okay. I guess so.
And then they're doing mouse smoothing because they said if you feel the frame rate is slow, make sure this is turned off.
I mean, so essentially what they're doing is they're compensating for people that are sub 30 frames a second to make it so the mouse, instead of it jittering around, just kind of
so it doesn't feel like it's hitching or stuttering.
Yeah, exactly. Some other improved performance thing is on the CPU. They're doing some stuff there. They're working on any Radeon 6 cards, you know, 6.
It is saying that with 8-thread CPUs, which would be most people, right?
I don't know if that's physical or virtual.
Performance has been significant. It says with 8 threads, with 4 threads or fewer, it says performance has been improved, but it says with 8 threads, it's been significantly improved.
Yeah. So
I'm assuming that'll help a lot of people.
Yeah, there's some other stuff in here. Player saves. You can go look at this. It's nothing earth shattering. So you can get it with the experimental thing. And Gatlow says he's confused.
Just a lot of fixes.
Nick was hating on the game. Now he's defending the game. I was hating on
the hype of the game.
Exactly. I was hating on the hype. I was hating on how they handled it PR wise, and I was hating on how unstable it is when you first get into it. I think the game is very good, but the barrier to entry is significantly high, in my opinion.
Well, so. My biggest being critical could be that they really should have kind of pulled back some of the expectation. Like, people love this game. They're marking it as like the equivalent of a AAA game when it's not, when they knew it wasn't. And rather than bringing kind of reining in people's expectations of this game, they really just were like, oh, this is great. Look how many people are going to buy this game. And they let everybody assume everything about the game.
Yeah.
Well, now release day comes and people are like, okay, we're getting a real, if they would have sold the game that they actually had, right, marketed as that, people would be perfectly happy with the game. They would have made less sales, but you wouldn't have a lot of people complaining about, oh, it doesn't do this, or it feels like this. Like, market the game you have. If you're not a AAA title, I mean, what is there, 12 people making the game?
I think it's a 15-man team. Yeah, something like that.
15-man team?
It's a pretty small team.
Compared to, you know, some major AAA titles having 1,000-plus people.
Yep.
I mean, there is a big difference there.
But again,
make yourself look like you're equivalent to a 1,000-man team.
But again, a lot of this falls down on public perception. I can't blame Hello Games for people literally saying this was going to be the greatest game to ever come out. They did.
You're not going to say, "Oh no, it's not going to be the greatest game."
Well, that's
but you
the
just
thing.
Need to say, "But here, well, here's what's in the game."
Well, and that's
here's
the thing, and that's why I was critical of them. But again, this. They didn't come out here and say, hey, you guys ready for the next best game? This is going to be the best game ever released. That was never part of their PR.
Yeah, they never promised that.
They just had a really kick-ass trailer, and they said that they were going to have some really good features, which most of the features they have. But, you know, I don't know. Critical of the game's launch, critical of how they handled it PR-wise, game itself is good. Is it $60 good? I'm not sure. I'm going to leave that up to you. But, you know, I'm playing the game, and don't read the Steam reviews, because people in these Steam reviews are morons. This guy's got 30 minutes played, and he's leaving a review. You can't leave a review of a game that you've played 30 minutes of. That's ridiculous. So that's my opinion, if it's worth anything to you. But, you know, you gotta decide. Who knows? It could be it could be a waste of $60, or it could be one of the best $60 investments I've ever made. I have no clue what's going to happen. So... that's No Man's Sky.
Just have to keep playing it and see what it builds into as
exactly.
well. As they start to put these fixes out, you'll get a real feeling for what the game actually
exactly,
is.
Exactly. So that's No Man's Sky. I've been playing it. We'll continue playing it, and I'll have more of an update next week if anything new comes of it. So back to our regularly scheduled programming, H1Z1. Got some concerning news in this update, but we'll get it right in. This is the producer's letter from August 11th. Titled A Look Ahead. They talk a little bit about how working in early access is kind of crazy and hectic. You know, poor me, we made an early access game. And then say how vehicle updates were good. And now that was going to be the last major content push for a while, as they're now going to be focused on bug fixes, polishing the game, and optimizing going forward. So, with that being said, the new map. So we've heard about the new map. The new map was supposed to be on the test server every weekend. What they're working on right now in the new map is that they're a more equal distribution of loot, which is a big deal, which the current map has got an awful lack thereof. And they're trying to get rid of what they say is, quote, bad spawns, which everybody says. There are bad spawns in Z1. You spawn literally in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing there. So they're trying to work on that. And, of course, better visuals as well to have it be more lit up. And it would make it a much richer visual experience. Now, this is where stuff is a little concerning to me. The new map will be on test again in several weeks. So make sure you test it out and send us feedback. If we remember, TwitchCon is happening at the end of September. There is absolutely no way that the new map will be ready for TwitchCon. Absolutely no way. They're saying that it will be on the test servers in several weeks. Several weeks indicates at minimum 2, if not 3 or 4 weeks. So we wouldn't be seeing this on the test servers until, let's just ballpark, this producer update came out on the 11th. That was a Thursday. Let's ballpark and say we didn't see it until the 16th or the 17th. TwitchCon would be 2 weeks away.
So, I mean, when they say several weeks, I bet you it'll be like at the end of the month.
You know
what I'm saying? Like,
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so.
I mean, let's say they've got a huge list of
several,
things they're like,
I don't know. Several
is
a bad word.
Let's say they have a big list of things that they were like, okay, we got to fix all these things. So it's going to take them several weeks to fix those issues, and they're going to come back. And I'm assuming they're hoping that it's going to be pretty polished at that point.
Yeah. So,
I mean, they probably have a list of here's bugs in the map. Here's things that are not right. You talk about spawn points, things like that. I mean, that's going to be their big push before this happens. And what if they just totally open up the map then from then on out? I mean, because this has been something where they've only been releasing it on weekends here and there.
What if they're
putting out a big push and then they're going to have it out, you know, and then pushing updates each week?
I don't see how this game could possibly be ready for the end of September. By the way, it can't just be ready that weekend. These players need to play on the map extensively to learn the map and not look like fools just running all over the place with... like chickens with their head cut off. So they need the streamers and the people competing need to have this map at least 3 weeks beforehand.
Because don't you think it'd be kind of fun to have them play it fresh though?
Like, no, because it would be an really knows. I mean, here's the thing: we're watching. They're trying to produce a show. Nobody wants to watch a show where the play. I mean, it's supposed to be like watching a football game where they just throw a bunch of people that don't know what the hell football is into it. It would be awful. The streamers need to have a lot of experience with this map. They're going to look like idiots sitting on the main stage at TwitchCon, not knowing what they're doing. So
now what if secretly they have this map on the private server that they have access to that they've been practicing on?
Again, I don't know. There's so many bugs from when we played it. Who knows? Again, I don't see how this map can be ready for TwitchCon. It's been on the test server once. It's been on the test server once. Once since they released it.
Since they put in all the loot spawns and everything?
No. Well, it was on there the first time. There were no loot spawns. They fixed that once. It's been on there one weekend. How is this going to be ready? It's August 16th. They're saying several weeks again before
We'll have to see what the several weeks is, what they come out with after several weeks.
Yeah, but the problem is several weeks could end up being 3 or 4 weeks, and 3 or 4 weeks brings us to the middle of September. I mean, several weeks is not going to be this weekend or next weekend. It would be the second or the third of September. That's a serious problem.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming that with this new map, it's probably a lot easier to fix than the old map, because I think that was something they kind of threw together when they were coming up with the concept, right? They are probably able to work in this map much faster, to where several weeks may be a lot of progress.
Okay.
I mean, look at how fast they put it together. Like, from the time of kind of putting out hints to having a huge amount of progress on it. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they come out again and several weeks from now, like, it's pretty complete. It's ready. There may be some little bugs here. There are visual glitches or things that, you know, maybe some doors that don't line up right.
I mean,
those are the things that usually we see. We're like, oh, look at that. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they can get the loot spawns correct, if they can fix the dips in the road and places where, you know, like if you're driving a vehicle, like you go into the road and all those things, which I'm sure they can find with code, right?
Yeah.
If they can get all those fixed, there won't be big problems that you'll notice on the stream. I mean, my biggest worry on the stream would be if someone went and laid in a road, you know, and couldn't be seen from above the road, but they could see everybody outside, you know, from underneath the road. Like, that would be a big bug. I'm sure they're going to get all those things.
I'm not worried about the bugs as much as I'm worried about the streamers not having enough time. I mean, they're putting on a show. This is a show that they're trying to show off. I'm not concerned with bugs on
the map. How much prep time do you think the streamers need to really? Because a lot of these guys are playing 8 hours a day.
But a lot of them are not playing 8 hours a day right now. You'd be surprised.
Maybe not H1Z1 a day. You know what I'm saying? But they could. I mean, a lot of the big streamers stream for 8 hours straight.
At least.
If they wanted to be the best at it, they could.
At least. They need at least 2 full weeks with this map. 2 full weeks to learn. I mean, you have to learn every single item spawn.
If they put out a pretty complete map and they leave it out in let's say 2 weeks from now, or, you know, two weeks and a day from now,
that would give them enough time to practice. But the question is, will it be a workable map that they can play with? They're releasing a test server. This is a test server map. The first time they released a test server week, it didn't even have gun spawns. I mean, every single spawn point needs to be in the game.
So people can start learning them?
Exactly. It's not just they need to learn the map. They need to learn where guns spawn. Where they need vehicles to learn where weapons spawn. Yeah, they need to learn lines of sight. I mean, we've had a year to learn that you can go up on this building and see across the roof of another building and onto the ground. Yeah, 2 full weeks, PHVCK. 2 full weeks. You can't learn an entire map, lines of sight, buildings. You're not going to learn that in you need at least 2 weeks to learn that. You know, you can have an idea. 3 days would not be enough.
I know the town's over here.
Yeah, exactly. It's enough to say exactly. Yeah, enough to say I know this road is over here. They need enough time to look. Again, they're putting on the show against the best other people in the game. These are all the most pros.
Entertaining other people in the game. They're not always the best.
Yeah. So they need obviously enough time to learn the entire thing, the map, the terrain, the buildings, the spawn points, and the vehicle spawns. I think you need 2 weeks to do that. So,
I'm sure they'll give them 2 weeks. Cause you said it, what is it? The end of September,
September 30th, I believe is the start of 30th? TwitchCon. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I bet you they're going to do a push for like a couple of weeks.
But what's a couple? Is a couple of weeks 2 weeks, or is it
so like at the end
weeks?
Of this month, like the 31st? I bet you they're going to put something out on the 31st that they're going to then let people just play on.
That is 2 weeks away.
That's like a month of play time.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's 2 weeks away. So I just don't see this map being on test servers in 2 weeks. That's just me.
Okay.
So,
but we'll find out.
I just say the word "several" is concerning to me. Several weeks is a concerning term. Several weeks is not 2 weeks. That would several indicates.
Cycles McHertz says that they should put some No Man's Sky tech in there and make every single map different.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
And no one will have any clue what's going on.
So instead of the new map, in addition to the new map, we're also going to have a new UI. Which, thank God, because the UI right now is literally like a 60% opacity gray box.
I like the menu system that they created up to the point of you getting into the game, right?
They polished it up to that
point. But once you're in game, this has been my huge complaint, and I've said this I don't know how many times, but what are people taking screenshots of? You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not taking screenshots of the loading screen. They're not, unless it's not working. You know what I'm saying? They're not taking screenshots of the actual character selection menu. Like, this is where this in the game, like, that's where people are gonna be like, oh, look at that. That looks cool. That looks really nice. And the Cycles McHertz, he works for them. He's saying the new UI is amazing. So it'll be interesting to see, because that's one area that they haven't touched much, other than, you know, they've added a few boxes. Let's say there's new inventory places you can put things.
A lot of the issue, Brian, and you've even hinted at this, if you like this one thing that would be awesome that would be fixed, if you could favorite your skins. Because right now you've got a list of skins, you know, 78 red trucker hats, 43 t-shirts. It'd be nice.
Sort?
Yeah, exactly. A favorite or a sort.
I don't know how many times I've said that too. Okay, so since Daybreak is here, please, for our skins, let us mark favorites so they show up on the top.
So,
I've said this, and I think at the time I said, I don't think they're listening, but now I know they are. So,
the new UI.
What are favorites for your skins?
Exactly. So the new UI, they're saying with flows for customization, which would indicate something like that, some type of customization, and easier access to the game. So this is the customization is really important. Being able to let people customize their HUD. Were you used to be able to drag the box around?
Can you still do that? There's the key that you can press. So I'm sure it's
Alt
still
or
works.
Something or something like that.
No, you can drag. I don't remember which one it is, but you would press a key and then it would let you move the elements around.
Yeah.
So that is possible.
So yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. So what they're working on that, that is huge. And they're saying they're trying to accommodate how people actually play King of the Kill. So what do people actually do in King of the Kill? That they're building a UI around how people actually play. So that's good. That's very good news.
And hopefully a queuing system that retains the players.
I don't imagine that's coming in. Probably not in the new UI. But
I mean, if they're putting a big push on King of the Kill and how that plays.
So this next thing is also very important. And we've talked about this extensively too. Right now, King of the Kill, every game is pretty much its own separate thing. There is absolutely nothing that you do in game A that affects game B. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing that happens in those two games that affect it. So scoring, and we've talked about this as well. So we're going to add some type of scoring system or structure to the game. So it's going to enhance the game's competitive nature. And one of the things that they're going to be adding is some type of score. The issue I kind of have with this is it says, play a match and get a score based on your finishing position and number of kills. See how your score compares to everyone else on the leaderboards. But it still doesn't lead to the next game. That's where I sort of see the issue.
Know how they're doing the whole ranking system eventually? Well, this could all lead into that.
I would hope so. Maybe this is the first.
This is the first step into that of getting the statistics and kind of showing people.
100%. Yeah. I'm hoping that this is the first step to that. But even with this, all it is bragging rights against your friends. Like, nothing you score in game one leads makes any difference in game two. I mean, you could spawn in game two and then just get shot in the face and you're dead. Yeah. So maybe this is the first step, though. So there is going to be a scoring system with, they say, leaderboards. Who knows? And they'll use that to fuel your competition. So we'll see how that works. But maybe, like you said, Brian, this is the first step to a more of a ranking system.
And now here's the thing, that with Twitch, they're going to have it to where you can invite subs and viewers into the match with you.
Yes.
So remember we talked last week a little bit about how, you know, how are they going, what are they going to do? Watch your Twitch. Remember you're talking about that. Like, how are they going to know to avoid grouping you with people that are watching? But now maybe they're saying, well, we'll invite you to play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
because that sounds like what they're kind of going towards.
Yeah. So, but imagine this is going to be some type of Twitch integration for subs and viewers, where you can invite them to your game. Not sure on the details of it, but and there's what they're also saying is, and they've posted, Clegg, I believe, has posted this on Twitter a few times. They've got a big TV in their office that they keep, that they throw a Twitch streamer on all day playing the game. So they're saying that's part of behind, you know, that's kind of the
kind of the motivation.
Yeah, exactly. Part of the motivation for it. They're always looking at people playing this game. So, and also what it'll allow you to do.
One thing I was going to mention, like, if you look at like Dr. Disrespect, mm-hmm. like he became almost overnight a big H1Z1 streamer.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at how he does it, he's got full switching software. He's a scenes, like he's made it into just a ridiculous event, but you know, just showing that, you know, you don't have to be one of these really famous streamers to make it. Like, if you look at what he did, he just went into it with a lot of quality. I mean, it's all crazy and ridiculous, but he went into it with quality, and he pretty much became a pretty big streamer overnight.
And the next thing on here is that, and for viewers, you can discover new and rising H1Z1 Twitch stars by filtering through various streamers based on game stats and activity. So what this indicates is, it says game stats and activity. So if you're maybe getting a good score from the last system that we're talking about, higher score, even though you may not be a popular streamer, if you're good at the game, people will want to watch you. The issue on Twitch right now is, you know, Brian or I can fire up a live stream, but, you know, like, I suck at the game. So why would, like, honestly, why would...
What if they can filter it by most deaths?
Well, but there's stuff like that, like,
quickest deaths.
Like,
people don't want to watch you die.
I don't act like I'm good at the. I suck at H1Z1. I'm not good. So for me streaming, somebody's going to click on that and go, I don't want to watch this guy die. I don't want to spend the entire. So you could have a small streamer that is very, very good.
Yeah, because there's some streamers that are really good, but they just don't have the audience yet.
Exactly. So that would be cool. So that, you know, people won't have to watch me and they can watch somebody that's presumably better.
Better at the game, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's no secret. I suck at H1Z1. I don't spend enough time playing it. So, you know, but this, you could have somebody that literally starts streaming day one, but turns out they're a god at this game.
Yeah.
And there you go. So that's cool stuff coming from this producer letter. Now, we also had a producer's, not a producer's update,
well,
a regular
game
update.
This is a server maintenance.
Server maintenance and update from August 11th as well. So the new features, there is a set of unique zombies that have been seen roaming the area. Those zombies now hold the secrets to the new set of powerful weapons. This is the stuff we talked about. Weapons will now, they'll have modifications on them that make them different than the stock.
Kind of like a slow effect, and I think there was just a couple different
ones. Just different effects on the weapons, exactly. So all that stuff is in there. Now, this next thing, which we talked about extensively, was that now when you are killed by a zombie, you will turn into a zombie with all of the gear you had. So,
yeah. And they've had a slight variation of this. I mean, I remember them rolling out something a long time ago that was similar to this.
But it didn't have all the loot.
They turned it off. I mean, because...
Didn't have all the loot.
You wouldn't crawl out of the ground or anything.
Exactly. So now you actually crawl out of the ground and you've got all the loot.
There with your back.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's going to have all your loot. So that's in there. There's some quality of life changes as well in regards to the respawn grid system. So now...
This is something they were talking about, how there were some bad spawns. And then with a new map, that's how it's going to be. You know, I'm sure this has to do with the new map.
Exactly. So there's currently a 9 grid diameter There's a 9 grid diameter around your corpse. So when you die, if you look at the map, it's broken down 1 through 9, A through.
So you can't. It says you cannot respawn. You're no longer able to respawn within an area around where you died.
What's the current?
So this
map?
Is a 9 grid diameter.
It's 1 through 9, and then A through G.
But I'm wondering if they're breaking down like one.
No. They're saying so. If you die in B5, you cannot spawn in A5. A4, B4, C4, C5, C6,
so they're going to make you run
B6.
A little while.
Well, not a little while, but if you die in this point, there are initially 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 points around you that you can't spawn because they all touch that box.
Yeah. Now, one thing, they also said they're enabling chat, so text chat.
Text chat.
Because we've had voice chat. So now they're going to have a text bar that you can sit there and type to people, which for me would be a lot better because there were so many people that had horrible mics
or didn't know
how to speak English or playing music. Like you could turn off that. And if someone can't hear, you don't have to rely on the microphone. You could just type, hey, are you there?
Exactly.
So I think that'll be good. Really good for Just Survive.
Exactly. Exactly.
So they made following changes to base building, so limited base building rules. So this is on those servers that have limited base building, meaning they can't build it every single place.
Yep.
You can now build bases on the villas. Campfires can now be placed anywhere. Flares can now be placed anywhere. And they added a limited base building to the Krakow server. So another thing they did is they improved server performance to reduce lag on high pop and zombie intensive servers. So they figured out a way to do that. I know they've been testing adding more zombies places and you never know what that's going to do to your performance. And they said more parallelization of core game and graphic systems for better performance on multi-core CPUs. So you'll have to see what that does for your frames.
So then there's some vehicle stuff in here as well. We talked about this already. Vehicle shouldn't be as likely to flip now. Handling has been increased. Police car is the fastest. Off-roader has got the best handling. The pickup truck is the toughest. We've talked about almost all of this stuff, except for the coming soon. So this is features on the test server that will not be pushed live during this update, but we want these features to have more time to bake in before they release them. So zombies can now damage base structures. That's very interesting. So zombies, if you're inside of a, I would imagine that if you're inside of a base, the zombies will actually attack your foundation, attack your front gate, attack your walls. So you're not invincible inside your base. These zombies over time, I would assume over hours, I would imagine it's not an instant thing, but over a significant amount of time will be able to destroy your base. Recursive base destruction, which I thought was already ironed out. I thought that was done like 6 months ago, the recursive base thing. When you break the foundation, everything else breaks.
I know that they've been changing how it falls on the ground and everything is separate items now as well. So maybe, maybe they've redone it to work with that.
Gotcha. And then the last thing is that the strange zombie encounters. So that's from this update. And we'll continue following it. Unfortunately, it seems that they said they're not going to be working on any major improvements. They're just going to be working on polishing. So we expect the H1Z1 news to be not slow, but to not be as... Don't expect any, crazy updates. As they're saying, they're going to work on polishing the game itself. So we may have a little lull for a few weeks on H1Z1 news, but we'll continue watching it and we'll update you when there's new stuff going on.
Very good. Hey, do we want to do a game giveaway?
Let's do a game giveaway.
Did we do Van Helsing last week?
You're asking the wrong person.
I want to make sure. I mean, it should show as a gift key, but I want to make sure I'm not giving it away twice. I don't think we did Van Helsing Final Cut.
No, you didn't give that away. That was the Steam game or the Humble Bundle game.
Yes. No, all right. So let's go. All right. So let's go ahead and we are going to do Van Helsing. Adventures of Van Helsing Final Cut. And this will be, exclamation point raffle if you want to enter that.
Cool.
Yeah. And this will be, I don't have my Steam open to really get the link, but.
Okay, I can grab it. I'll grab that.
Well, I'm actually, I got it here.
Okay. So yeah, that's we'll do that raffle and chat. And of course, if you're missing out and you're not watching live, and you should be watching live, head on over to our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/infectionpodcast, live either on a Tuesday or a Monday at 7 p.m. Normally Tuesday, but we'll be here live next Monday. And another quick thing before we move on to our ARC news, we're still looking for people that are having issues finding us on podcast apps. If you use an app and we are not listed, shoot either Brian or myself an email and we will get us listed. So
yep,
do that.
And this is a $45 game. So yes. I should have done this one second, but we'll be fine.
Yeah, not a problem. So
it's all the same in the end.
ARC is still milking this update. 45. And by the way,
we had said, what are they going to do? Well, 0.98.
They're done. I mean, they're going to be done.
Yeah.
So,
well, I guess they're going to go to 0.9991.
Kill me. Just move. Just go to freaking 4.6.
They've still got like 2 weeks before their supposed next version.
This is ridiculous. They just need to. They are so move on. They're so anal about this that it's like they can't even. Remember when they did this the first time, when they added three things after the decimal point, it like broke a bunch of stuff because nothing could. They obviously didn't have stuff set up to handle.
People, if they wrote a script or something, it was expecting two numbers, and now all of a sudden there's three. It's kind of like, the year 2000 bug.
Yeah, exactly. Y2K.
Yeah, so on here, they did 245.986, yep. And this was August 11th, so this was 5 days ago. The fixed cases where you could get stuck in the world geometry after being pushed by dinos. So maybe a dino was next to you. They would push you into the world. They fixed another case where dinos were falling through floors. Pillars now extend resource respawn prevention radius as far out as foundations do. So let's say you put down a pillar. One thing that's going to do is not allow things to grow, like trees to grow, rocks to spawn there. It's not going to allow things like mining nodes and things like that to show up. So you may want to be careful. Some people do that on purpose. But that's something to keep in mind. It goes as far as a foundation. They added a new option to the server code. So only decay unsnapped core structures. So this is if people have a lot of like pillars and foundation spam around the servers, you can make it so that those things will decay and go away eventually. So they're enabling auto on the main server. So on August 22nd, they're going to be enabling the auto destruction of any decayed or demolishable PVE structures on all official servers. So anything that's been sitting there and not being used will start to disappear, probably because they have so much stuff built up on those servers now. Because those official servers have been running for at least 6 months to a year, right?
They've been running since the game came out. Since day one, the servers have been running.
Now, another thing they did on the 14th, so this was 2 days ago, this is 245.987. They updated Primitive Plus, so they fixed a number of issues with that.
Cool.
And this, of course, requires a server update to do that because it is a part of the main game now. And then they made another change. It says, which will decay unsnapped. It's pretty much the same thing as last time. So I don't know. They entered the new server option again because I think that's the exact same command. And then it says now all official PVE servers will have the auto destroy structures, automatically demolish old structures. So they're really just trying to clean those things up. Seems like that was kind of repetitive from the last one. And then 245.988, kind of the same thing. They fixed an issue with that command, the fixed decay unsnapped core structures. It was affecting tree platforms. So I think that was making it so that those tree platforms would collapse. And then all their stuff would instantly disappear.
Of course. Great feature.
Yeah. It's how it's supposed to be. So that's 245.988. And I think that's the latest one.
It is.
So
we're up to date.
We'll see. We'll see if they get to how soon they get to 999.
Yeah. And then they'll just add another decimal point and break everything again.
Yeah. Now all the people's scripts won't work anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I did want to mention what they fixed in Primitive Plus since it is a core part of it. Yes. I have a list in here. It's a big list of things, but they hadn't really touched Primitive Plus since they released it as the official. Yeah. So I'm not going to read it all, but it is a gigantic list of fixes that they've done. I don't know where to start. There was improper icons and just things that were named incorrectly, textures that were incorrect. So they had a lot of little fixes that they just kind of went through and did one big cleanup for this. And this is going to be, I don't think it's released yet. So this is the to be announced, should be out pretty soon, but this is the rolling list of updates that they have put together for 1.1.
Cool.
So keep an eye on that. So, I mean, that's pretty much ARK for the week. And, you know, we still have people playing on ours.
About two people.
Really long reload times. So, crazy. Like, when you load in that first time, it takes forever. So, keep that in mind.
Frankly, it's kind of ridiculous at this point. Like,
yeah.
Come on. You know?
Yeah, they definitely need to get that. And maybe, I'm hoping that maybe this patch for Primitive Plus... Or I don't know, because I'm not sure if it's Primitive Plus doing it or if it's the center that's doing it.
I would imagine it's more of the center. Because yeah. Primitive Plus is really just, it's just adding a few items. It's not like it, it's the new center is a brand new map.
Center is a huge map. So yeah. I'm assuming they're going to have to do a lot of tuning on the center. So
now this is interesting. Hold on. Before we move. Falcon Watch just said, I think a lot more people would play without the load time. You know, here's the thing.
Yeah, because it takes at least 10 minutes to load in.
And I wonder if you're like, you know, if you're going to, if you only have half an hour, like, oh, I got to run to class in half an hour.
Yeah.
What game, 15 minutes played. I want to open a game and, you know, play a game for 25 minutes. Probably not going to pick ARK because I know it's going to take 20 minutes.
It could take you 15 minutes to get in.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's interesting. And then, okay, so Falcon is saying that it is Primitive Plus because the center part loads fast. Oh, you're right. It does show what's loading. So yeah. That's interesting. Who knows?
So, yeah, we'll see. I'm hoping with this patch that they'll speed that up.
Yeah. So,
all right. And as far as 7 Days to Die, I kind of wanted to talk about, there's not really a big update to it, but and this is not for PC. So keep in mind, this is for console, mm-hmm. but they're putting out another skin pack for that. So they've been putting out skins for The Walking Dead. So you can play as the Walking Dead characters in 7 Days to Die.
And who's making the PC or the console version of this game? Telltale, I believe, who made the Walking Dead video games?
Yeah, they're making these skins. Yeah, so they're making these skins for it. And I don't know if or when it's going to come to PC because I haven't heard anything about them. And I don't know why they wouldn't. Like, unless it's a licensing thing.
I would imagine it's a licensing thing because Telltale's producing it and Telltale produced the Walking Dead console games.
Also did the PC games. I just don't know why they wouldn't bother putting these on PC as well.
I it's got to be a licensing thing with Telltale. That's the only logical explanation to this,
because I mean it would be very little work if they're close enough builds to each other.
It would be practically no work because they're the same models.
So I'm assuming it's got to be a licensing issue or else they would have done
which,
it.
Which makes sense. They've got the license for the piece.
Or maybe it's something, you know, to where with 7 Days to Die, they don't consider it final enough. Maybe once it's out of alpha.
Possibly.
Maybe they'll sell the skins like they are with the Xbox. I mean, they're selling them on Xbox and it's still alpha.
Yeah. It's got to be licensing. That makes the most sense. Yeah. It being licensing.
And then as far as Rust.
Do you want to do our giveaway?
Oh, do we want to do the game giveaway?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So let's go ahead and figure out who won. So it says I won, so we're going to reroll that.
Wonderful.
Because I typed in the X. Okay, here we go. All right. So McGrogan has won. Congratulations. Okay. I will send you a key.
Awesome.
Actually, I'll send you a link. And so that'll be from Infection Podcast.
Check
from
spam.
Their Twitch.
Yep.
Yeah. Check your spam. It seems like they like to put things there. So
yeah. All right. So this is the Rust Dev Blog number 122. So the headline update on here is CPU performance hidden players. This was quite an endeavor. So they kept saying is the question this developer kept asking himself is why is the FPS great when I join the server when no one is in it? And as soon as I join a populated server, my FPS tanks down to 30. My assumption has been that lots of people meant lots of buildings, and that meant more stuff to render, thus low frame rates. I was wrong. Check it out. So what he's saying is all of let me show this image so you can actually see it while I'm reading it. So there's a bunch of black marks on this map here. And he's saying that those are other players. They are either alive or sleeping.
Hacks.
So they are thinking and rendering, skinning, they're doing a whole bunch of unnecessary garbage to your computer. So even if somebody is sleeping, because Rust, you stay logged in.
Yeah, your character is persistent.
Character is persistent. So it's loading. Somebody could be sleeping inside their base. You may be nowhere near them, and it's loading in the player, the skin, all that other stuff. So that was the issue. So he's saying that this has led to very significant performance improvements. And for most players I've talked to, the average improvement seems to be between 20 and 30% on the CPU, which is a big deal.
Yeah, because he went from 55 to 74 frames per second just doing that.
Yes. So that's and then after this is the after result. It's not loading in all of the useless it's not loading in all the useless information.
So now this is the relevant system. So
yeah.
This is something that we've been hearing a lot about with all these different games. But this is the relevant system to where if you can't see that object, why do you need to know about that object, right?
Exactly.
That is the whole thing. I mean, it's a good way for blocking, people that are trying to noclip and to see into bases or, use hacks to be able to see. If the server doesn't send that person the information, they're not going to be able to use a hack to.
Yeah. Well,
to try to see things they shouldn't be able to see.
And this developer sums it up perfectly. It said, these players are doing a whole bunch of unnecessary garbage to my computer, even though I can't see nor interact with them. Exactly. You can't. Brian is all the way across the world from me. I can't possibly interact or even see Brian. Loading in that player data does nothing, but it's using more cycles on my CPU because it's more data that the computer has to process. So that's a 20 to 30% improvement on a game.
And this is Unity, so I don't know if they just weren't taking advantage of everything or maybe Unity isn't. I mean, because that's one thing if you do. I mean, we saw with Miscreated that, that engine just could not.
Well, it wasn't meant for.
They had to code it in.
Yeah, it wasn't meant.
Unreal Engine does a really good job of it. If you just make it correctly, it does this out of the gate. I don't know if maybe they just weren't taking full advantage of it. Or if it's something they actually had to code in a little bit more and do a little bit of more work inside of Unity Engine. But 20 to 30% improvement is pretty good. So, and this is how they should have done it from the beginning. So, I mean, that's the thing is you shouldn't be seeing all this information. I mean, you saw what it did to Miscreated.
Yeah. And
they're having 50 megabits of usage just when servers were half full.
Yeah. So this next thing is CPU performance for shooting. This one is really interesting. I want to read this. I just want to read this quickly because it's very, very interesting. Yeah. I found a major source of lag during gunfights, which caused what some people dubbed as micro shutters. Basically, anytime a player's wearable inventory changed, it would network this to all other players that could see it. So if you change your shirt, everybody in thing gets new shirt. The way it would do it is it would rebuild the whole player model so that it would appear that the appropriate clothing would change. The issue is, with the rebuild would happen no matter how the wearables changed. And he says, remember when we added condition to the armor? Well, the condition being lowered from taking damage counts as a change. So every time somebody was doing damage to a piece of armor or clothing, it would essentially redraw and re-render the whole model. So you would get this micro shutter, this lag on combat. If you're shooting at me and somebody else is shooting at somebody else, if there's three people losing armor health at the same time, it is redoing all three of those people's player models at the same time. So it was called a huge issue with lag. And it's stuff like that they don't think of. They're like, oh, of course we want it to redraw the model because they want the piece of clothing to update. But when you have it redo that with health, and the health changes by 1%.
It sounds like with this patch, They were just like, we're going to tackle performance.
Yeah, this is me sitting in the office all weekend like, we just got to figure this out.
Yeah, just let's look at all the stats.
What is causing this? Happening? Exactly. I'm sure being a developer, this has got to be very, very frustrating. Not knowing what the cause is. And then you realize, okay, this is actually the cause. So that's shooting. Some other performance updates with visible player. These are a little more complex.
He actually goes in and kind of shows you. Here's the processing time for doing these individual things.
Exactly.
Trying to dig up how they're finding it.
Yeah, a little too complex for the use of this show. I mean, we're not a developer podcast. So the double barrel shotgun buff. So they've increased the damage from the multiplier from 0.75.
Double barrel shotgun.
Yeah, from 0.75 to 1. So that means.
And this was the new shotgun that they just put out.
Yeah, the new one.
I guess they're saying that it wasn't powerful enough. It wasn't what they were expecting.
They're saying now that this double barrel should do the same damage as the water pipe per shot.
Okay.
So they've changed that. Supply signal changes. So people are able to throw the supply signal and know with 100% certainty that the supply drop is going to land exactly on the marker. So people would use this to ensure the supply drop would land perfectly in their little one-by-one rooftop tower. And no hopes of anybody else getting it. So now they made it to a plus or minus 20-meter radius offset. So it's kind of like an H1Z1 supply drop where you call it.
You don't know exactly where it's going to go.
Land somewhere near, which is really cool. That's the thing. If you could pinpoint it to land on a...
Well, you want to create that contention.
Well, exactly.
You want to have it to where, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to get that. Let's all run there. And you get a group together. That's definitely too predictable to be able to land it on a little...
a one-by-one rooftop tower.
Yep.
So that nobody else can possibly get to it. So we'll figure that out.
And then they said they've been working on the supply drop loot tables. So they've cleared out all the garbage from the supply drops.
Yep.
So no more apples or torches. It says ammo is the worst thing that you can get from them now. So it's going to be ammo and above.
Okay. So cool.
And then they're working on the lighthouse as far as remodeling that. Military tunnels is something they've been working on. Server weapon verification. I'm assuming this is just making sure that the right weapon fired the right thing.
I think it's something like that. So what they're saying is that for projectile weapons that usually meant for at some point later that X fired invalid projectiles missing ID message was logged. So they're saying that they're doing something to try to fix that. I don't know.
I think what they're doing is making sure that people aren't like sending their own things like, oh, I'm using a pistol to shoot a shotgun shell. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They're actually verifying server side.
That the ammo being shot is the ammo
that,
being
that
shot.
That a hacker's not saying, all right, here's a magic bullet that's going to kill somebody every time.
Yeah, exactly. That makes sense. Some code lock interaction, beacon view, model updates, just a typical Rust update blog.
So they put a concept in for some armor.
I want to show this. This is cool. This is bone armor. This is kind of cool. This is like kind of like mummy-ish kind of looking, but it's just some bones and some raw hide making this different armor. So,
and if you click the thing below it, you can actually do an interactive move around and look at it.
Oh, my browser, I guess, doesn't support WebGL.
No.
I mean, Google Chrome. So I must. Let me load up Edge real quick, and we'll load it up.
I'm in Chrome and it's working. So I don't know. That's weird. But that's a cool feature.
I think I have it disabled. Yeah, my bad.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. Oh, well, I can't do anything. That sucks.
So the same thing they do it with one of their weapons as well, kind of showing the detail of of the LR-300 assault rifle.
I'd love to show you it shooting, but unable to do so. Yeah. So there you go. That's Rust.
So, and then,
by the way, this is a much bigger update. Go look at this Dev Blog 122. There's a lot of cool stuff. They're doing a graphics overhaul,
so they kind of show some screenshots of that.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff. So, if you're.
But yeah, there's we'll have the list. It's Dev Blog 122, as you said.
If you're super interested, you can check it out.
All right. So, also, here is Unturned. We always talk about that because it's a free game that probably is good for your kids, too. If you're like, I don't want to buy you a game. Go play this. It's a good survival game. Really low resources to use it, but they added some new objects to this. So this is 3.15.13.0 update. So they added new hair and beard styles. They added some new landmarks, and they just went through and added a number of things. Did a number of fixes, and improved the spawn table. Tool to allow editing, you know, things like that. So this is just a fix. This came out on the 12th. So go check it out if you don't already have it. And this is, of course, free to play. It's Unturned. It is a survival game that has kind of a Minecraft type of a feel as far as the resolution of the game.
I don't know. It's a super blocky feel, which is cool. It works for the game, especially being a free to play kind of. It all kind of comes together.
There's a lot of depth for what it is.
Yeah, like you can do a crazy amount of depth. Exactly.
So go check that out. Now, Fallout 4, I just wanted to put a little bit of a teaser out there. This is the upcoming Nuka World.
Okay.
And there's been a bit of, I don't know if you do want to play the video. It's a minute 42. You can play with audio. There's talking.
Okay. Yeah. Have you watched it? Is it a good video?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Sorry, I wasn't expecting that. All right. Here is Nuka World official trailer. Here we go.
Welcome to Nuka World, America's favorite vacation destination. I'm Cappy.
Oh, and I'm Bottle.
And we're here to make sure you have F-U-N fun during your time at the park.
What if there was a place with all the zip of Nuka Cola? Wouldn't that be the cheeriest place in all the world? Where the river's made of quantum and the mountaintops are fifth.
Copyright claim incoming.
Kids and rides for all the moms and pops and kids. But it turns out there's a place with all the zip of Nuka Cola. Come on down to Nuka World and see it for yourself.
Kingdom lots of fun for Tiger and me.
Flurry adventures full of animals to see.
Blast off to guide the zone for otherworldly thrills.
Down in dry rock cultures, cola, living for him.
The world of refreshments, the most wonderful place. The friendly streets of Nuka Town put a smile on your face.
Well, thanks for that, Brian. You said there was right, talking.
So this, well, yeah, I mean, it was a song. I figured the people that are listening, they can enjoy the little Nuka Cola song. I wanted to dig in this a little bit. Actually.
Yeah, give us some details besides this song.
Besides the song and all the random clips.
Yeah.
So this is the biggest DLC that they'll do on it. It's like 3-point-something gigabytes big. So there's a bunch of new, because people were looking at it and it's like, oh, it's an amusement park, but it's actually bigger than, Lost Coast, Far, I'm trying to remember what they call that one, or Far Harbor, I think it is. Yeah, it's bigger than that one, which was a pretty big expansion. And so this one's going to have new park things that you can build. And it's pretty much a park that has been overrun by bandits. So it'll be really interesting because they've been really tight-lipped about this as far as beyond what that park is. I don't know if maybe the park is just huge as far as all the assets and that's why it's 3 gigabytes or if there's a decent amount of exploration to do in there. But I'm looking forward to that one. I've actually played Fallout 4 for a while this week.
I saw you're playing it this week.
Yeah, so I kind of been getting back into the story and kind of getting on track so that I actually care what happens.
Gotcha.
Because that's the thing is I was playing it so little here and there that I was like, I have no idea where I'm at.
And yeah, that's the thing.
One thing that drives me crazy that I understand it's Fallout and, you know, and there's people that will say you can't say that, but I wish that their quest system, like, it seemed like it's kind of broken as far as you're supposed to go here. Like, it doesn't always show like a little square saying, here's where your objective is. Like, I have to go into the map and then come back out a couple times and then it'll show up. It's really strange.
Huh?
So
a bug.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wish, you know, if they did that, it seemed like it'd be a lot easier to kind of go around the world and go from quest to quest, but I'm used to WoW. So it's where you can put plugins they'll have a big green arrow on your screen.
You can throw a plugin. I mean, it just, hey, I'm sure there's an add-on that'll do it.
I'm sure they've got something.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody's got that.
Now, I did mess with the mod system. You know how they implemented the mod system?
But, like a pretty advanced mod system.
It's seamless.
That was their whole thing. And it's, by the way, seamless on console and console and PC. It's a full-on seamless
system. Now, if you load mods, it does disable your... It disables your achievements.
Yeah, so that makes
sense.
Keep
that in mind because, you know, mods will do all kinds of things for you. It's not just changing how it looks. It'll actually change the carry weights, the, you know, whatever it is. It'll change weapons. So they don't put any limits on those. So just remember, if you're going for achievements, don't put any mods on there. But they have it built in to where now you're just like, oh, I want to install this mod. It does a little reload screen, and now you have that mod loaded.
Cool. That's awesome.
So it does a very good job. So yeah, that was that's Nuka World. It's going to come out in a couple weeks. So keep your eye out for that if you're playing Fallout 4. Now, We Happy Few put out a pretty big update this week.
This is your game. You bought this. I'm letting you do the the reviews on it. So what's going on?
All right. So now they did one where they called it the community balance. And let me pull up because they actually removed my announcement. Did you are you getting the same error?
No. I got it. I got both links open.
Can you send me the or post the link in chat, because my Steam is not letting me connect to the Steam page. I'm actually getting a Steam error, which is kind of strange.
Oh, I'm getting it too. I guess I'll read it then, because I have it loaded.
Okay, so don't refresh that page.
This is the community balance update. This is the main branch. Let's see. So so what they're saying is that they did a bunch of updates. And what they're saying is that they recommend you start a new game to avoid potential save game incompatibility issues. So they've obviously changed
enough
stuff.
Because this is a generated world.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember. They, they change enough.
Exactly. They change enough, it'll break it. So that's what they're recommending, which is fine because there really is no story that you've gotten into yet. So
there's a limited amount of story, like at the very beginning. So you're not really missing out on anything.
So in addition,
or losing progress.
Exactly. In addition, they want to draw your specific attention to two things. The survival needs rebalancing. It is intended to bring down the difficulty to what it's like going to be the medium difficulty setting. For those who would like a more difficult survival, this will return in a future update when we implement difficulty settings. So they're taking the whole game difficulty and bringing it down to a medium, which is how most games start.
And then they'll be putting like a low, medium, high.
Exactly, later on. So I guess the game was so super hard to play that it just wasn't working like that. So they brought that, they're bringing that back down to a medium, which I think for most people can handle. And then the second thing here is that there's a well-known issue where some map markers will not have description text when you hover over them. So something that, Brian, you're talking about Fallout 4, I guess was an issue in here too. They've implemented a more reliable map marker system to solve issues raised by you guys. But while our level designers have worked very hard to re-implement all the descriptions, some have not made it in yet. So some should be there if they're not all there. Of course, No Man's Sky, geez. We Happy Few has a Trello.
No Man's Sky on the game, on the...
On the brain. Yeah, so much. I'm having so much fun playing No Man's Sky. They have a Trello where you can go, and if there's after this update, if there's still one that doesn't pop up, let them know of that. Otherwise, here's a gigantic list of changes. There's 1,000 things on here. I'll just cover the first few core game / balance things. So, needs and time scale rebalancing. Change the time scale to 48 from 72. That means there's a 30 minutes per day instead of 20. Change to the threshold at which the need icons appear to 50 instead of 75. So the need icon, which is the need, is you need the pill, the happy pill. It now appears at 50 instead of 75, which, by the way, No Man's Sky has that issue too. Hunger fully depletes in 40 minutes instead of 32 minutes. So fully 40. Thirst, which previously depleted at 20, will now deplete at 30, so you got 10 extra minutes on thirst. And sleep will now fully deplete at 45 instead of 20. So that's a 25-minute upgrade to that. So that's some stuff there. And then the last thing here is that they changed sleep hours required to fully restore fatigue to 12 hours instead of 8. So now it'll take 12 hours to fully restore fatigue, or to, I guess, get rid of the fatigue. So there you go. That's some other stuff in here as well, but more specific stuff. So if you're a No Man's Sky, if you're a We Happy Few player, go check it out. We'll have a link in the show notes, infectionpodcast.com. Now, can you load the second link?
Yeah, well, I actually pulled it up on their website. I found an alternate link for this. So one thing they went through.
This is the weekly journal you're talking about?
Yeah, this is the weekly journal. So the other one was just kind of a maintenance, fixing a lot of bugs, you know, it's for initial release. So they've been going through and working with the narrative team. You know, this is one thing, it's going to have a lot of audio dialogue. And so, and kind of clips, you know, cut scenes and things like that. So they're working on that. So they're saying there's just like about 150 to 200 new male NPC lines that they're adding, just as an example. So that's always nice because it really brings you into the game. As far as their art team, they're working on getting a little more depth. When you are making 3D objects in a game, they have occlusion, which gives depth. So you'll have an object, and it'll actually be a square object, but they can put pictures on it, which make it seem like it's dipped in and has depth. Like they're showing a cobblestone road, where before, they weren't doing a lot of depth, and then they showed it without a bump offset, and then with a bump offset. I think it looked better before, but just kind of showing you the depth that it's able to bring inside of a 3D game. So they're working on that. They're adding new assets to the game, doing a number of fixes. This is something where it looks like it could be a very beautiful game. I mean, it is. It's very nice looking now, but they're going through and adding like a garden district and things like that. So they're just kind of showing some examples of how they're making that look. So, and being that it's modular, or it's automatically rendered, it makes its own streets and fills all the houses in. They pretty much just have to make things in blocks. So they're just kind of showing, like, here's one building that we made that's a block that'll be randomly placed inside of the city. So, but yeah, this is, I'm looking forward to this. I'm kind of waiting for another update for more dialogue and things like that, because that's what I'm really into. But it is fun. It's a decent survival game for their initial alpha that they put out. So now Hurt World put out another update. So this is update 44. And there were some interesting things in here. If you scroll down where he pretty much says no more effing around. So this is something he says.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Now I am through most of the serious upgrades I need to do. He says, I'm switching gears into delivery mode. He says he wanted to take time necessary to make sure that we deliver some really, really game-changing stuff with the upcoming update. He says, however, I am starting to see some patterns emerge that I see in other games that never get finished.
So he's taking something out of other games, playbooks, which he's saying other games don't ever finish the stuff they need to be working on. So he's going to...
Yeah, so he's seeing that as a possibility. So he's really working on...
acceptance.
Says, I see now how easy it is to get caught up in trying to make everything perfect. Once the pressure is going bankrupt in the next week is taken off the table. So, that's the thing. He's trying to keep it going to where it actually gets finished and not get caught up on so many of the little things.
And I think that's a real problem with developers, because you can get so caught up in something that bothers you. Like, God, why can't I fix this tiny bug? This tiny bug is just eating away at you, when in reality... Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, it's such a minute thing that you need to work on the actual game itself. So it's good that he, as a developer, is actually realizing that, he needs to have priorities in terms of, what's more important, this little thing that's bugging me or the general game itself. So that's good.
Yeah. Now, one thing that they've been doing, they've shown the bike and things like that. I think they're getting close to the point of getting that textured, and you'll start seeing that in the world. One thing he also showed is that they've been really trying to lower the poly count of these different models that they have. So he has some samples of just showing the hands and the arms, and if you look, they're just much, when you see one, there's a, one is done in like a tri method. So it's a triangle. The other one's done in pretty much squares. So they're trying to decrease the blockiness and fingernail size and things like that. So if you look at the hands, I think they made them more detailed. And then the arms, I'm trying to look, because they show one on the left and on the right. So they said they're getting rid of some of the acute sharpness that was the original model, especially around the forearms and elbows, as well as decreasing the fingernail size and blockiness of the hands. So... Yeah. You can see the two for there, but that's something they've been focusing on lately, and they've been really going on about the bike. Like, I think they're really looking forward to doing that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we'll have a link to this. You can go check it out, see some of the screenshots and the videos, because they have a number of videos kind of showing the different changes that they've made of how the character moves and how the bike rides and things like that. So we'll have a link in our show notes. You're more than welcome to go check that out.
Yes, definitely.
And then finally, DayZ here. This was on today, actually.
On today, and yes.
Yeah, this was put out today, but it's pretty much an update talking about their milestone, so their goals for the 0.61 version. So they're going to be reworking the login queue system.
Yeah.
Because I guess that was an issue. You would know about that more.
Oh God, yeah, it was just a joke. Like now, there's actually a positioning queue. Before, it's just like, oh, server's full. You just keep clicking. It's like the phone ringing busy at a radio station. You just keep calling until it eventually lets you through. Like, so now there's an actual queue system, which is crazy. It didn't have beforehand.
Yeah. And now another thing they're going to be doing is merging the new audio technology that Arma 3 has, Arma 3 Eden update. So they're going to be implementing that so they can have a better audio system in the game. So they're updating the weapon sounds for the new audio technology that they're going to be able to have. So it's unlocking some ability. So they're going to be redoing the weapon sounds. They're having dynamic spawning of infected now.
Okay.
Bulk spawning in areas defined through the zone generation tool is done. So that should change how you see those coming into the world. And then predators, so wolves. So they're working on getting wolves to sync and move better in multiplayer. I mean, we ran into this in H1Z1 as well.
Yeah.
Wolves kind of spazzing out. They move faster. So they've been working on that. I know that they're working on lighting inside of, you know, in this new version. So... yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. You have it, so you'll have to play it once they get this out there and see if you really notice the difference.
We played.
I don't know if we should do it as a.
No, we did it once and it was not good. Definitely not a game of the week. No, it's a Rust. It's an Ark. It's a game you can't just play for 2 hours. It's a game you've got to really invest hours and hours and hours into. You can play it, but you know, it doesn't make sense to do it in such a small amount of time, which is unfortunately, man, the game days only typically last about 2 hours. So,
man. So. And now this one, and this is the upcoming 0.61. So if you log in right now, you will not see these changes.
No, you need to download the experimental build.
Yep. And so if you're wanting to see this, log into the experimental, but they will be rolling this out. I'm thinking fairly soon to the stables.
Well, they've been working on it. Yeah, they've been working on it for a while, and the game has been getting the numbers in the game have been going up and up and up.
Well, and right now there's Gamescom, so Gamescom is kind of pulling a number of their employees.
Gotcha.
For that, so they're not getting as much done this week as they normally would. So,
gotcha.
You know, we'll see if that kind of pushes it off for another week.
Cool.
So, all right. So, do we want to do another?
Let's giveaway? Announce it, and then we'll. Run into current players and then we'll be on our way.
All right. So for this one, we are going to do Spelunky. I don't know if you've ever heard of that game.
Yeah, yes, I've heard of Spelunky.
Yeah. So this is a smaller game. I should have done this one first.
Maybe. No, Spelunky's a very good game.
Very well. It's a 9 out of 10. So it's from, a very positive rating. It's a $15 title. Yeah. So it's a $15 title. So I guess we'll be happy with Spelunky today.
Yeah. So
I always if they have it's a 90 out of 100 Metacritic, since I know you love Metacritic so much.
No, it's IGN, the one I only get my reviews from.
Okay.
And nice try. Let's see. That didn't update. Hold on a second here. Some of my images did not update yet. Gotta love using a network drive as a there we go. Okay, here we go. So here is current players. This is H1Z1 combined, Just Survive, and King of the Kill. Currently playing that 12,431. The 24 peak for these games, 15,733. And the 70 peak, 18,968. This is Just Survive. Currently playing that 3,369. The 24 peak, 4,045. And the 7 day peak, 4,888. This is King of the Kill. Currently playing that 9,062. 24 peak for that 11,688. And the 7 day peak 14,080. Ark. This is Survival Evolved. Currently playing that. Numbers are down a little bit on Ark. I'm not sure what's going on with that. 34,338. 24 hour peak for that 50,929. And the 7 day peak 59,345. And Brian, is this great news for you? Miscreated. Currently playing that. 867. That is 72 more people than was playing it last week at this time.
Oh, yeah.
24-hour peak is at 1,038. It was at 1,012 last week. So that's up 20-some. And then the 7-day peak is at 1,242. That number's a little low. But we'll take it for miscreated. So that is King... or that's not King of Kill. That is Games of the Week. There's our updates for the current games that we're following. So current players. There we go.
Very good.
Cool stuff coming.
Yeah. And
I'm really, by the way, still cannot believe that miscreated is still pulling almost 1,000 people, you know, concurrently at any time. It's pretty significant, man. I'll tell you, because that game was
from going to like 27 number like that we
27,
saw.
Like, it was unbelievably low. It was like under 100 more than once.
I thought there was one time that it was like around 10 or something when we checked in on it.
Maybe like 12 or something. It was so unbelievably low. Like the point where it's like, how is this even a game? Like more people are watching our podcast right now than are.
Yeah, we had more people watching the podcast at the time when we read that than we're actually playing Miscreated.
Crazy.
So they've come back. I mean, they've done a beautiful job with the world. My biggest complaint with them is just the gunplay. Like if they could get that to feel natural and smooth, that would be much better for that game. I mean, they try to keep it realistic. There are no crosshairs and things like that on the guns.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a harder game to play, but you know, it feels kind of clunky when you get to the gunplay on it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It is better now that the clips and everything actually reload the magazines.
Yeah.
So that is better. Cause I remember they were having that big one where they were giving away all the games, the copies of the game with the live streamer with Bam Bam. And I went to go kill him because I haven't played it enough. Like I couldn't get the stupid gun to reload and he came and killed me, even though he was right in front of me and I was shooting at him. Like I had a clip with bullets in it, but I couldn't figure out how to get it to load in the game to load my gun. So frustrating.
Yes.
Anyways. So do we have anything else before my tip of the week?
No. No, I don't think so.
All right. So tip of the week is where we go through and either it'll be a general survival tip or it's something that is specific to a game. This week is going to be a tip for 7 Days to Die. So this is tip of the week. Now, Nisco's asking if that was a stream sniping confession. No, that was not. He was actually asking for people that were watching to try to kill him. So,
wait, what's a stream sniping confession?
With me shooting at Bam Bam while he was live streaming, he actually asked us to come and try to kill him. So that was part of a live stream. So
really?
Do not accuse me of stream sniping. I was only doing what I was asked.
Okay.
All right. So in 7 Days to Die, you'll pick up a lot of different items and you'll be like, do I need this item? And there's a lot of little details to that game. So if you check out, like as you're going around and picking up all these empty cans and glass jars and things like that, the best thing to do is to scrap them. You'll find that you can use the metal later in the game, much more than what those are worth in your inventory. So even if slightly hungry and you need some space, you know, one thing you can do is you can eat dog food and different canned foods, cat food, and then scrap those cans because they have a lot more use. One thing, when you're in the desert, though, you'll run around and find these different cactus plants. One thing you can do is chop down the cactus plants or there's going to be little small green type of cactus plants, green and gray cactus plants. You can actually pick those and then you can use those as either food and they'll help to cool you. One thing is when you're in the desert, you'll get dehydrated. So those cactus plants will actually help to hydrate you and to cool you down when you're overheating, because that's one thing that you really have to worry about when you're in the desert. So you can make the larger yucca fruits, you can actually make into a juice that's drinkable. So
Yum.
You know, it makes a nice concoction that you can drink. So yeah, so just some little tips for surviving, because I think 7 Days to Die, man, that is a fun game. We need to do that another time. I know we've done I don't know if it's game of the week, but we've gotten all the clan members together and played 7 Days to Die. We should do that another time soon.
Yeah, definitely.
So definitely a good game. And, you know, we've got some one main viewer that just plays it religiously. And so we just pretty much take him and say, hey, you know, show us what to do. So if you haven't really played 7 Days to Die, you know, that's an excellent opportunity because he knows the game inside and out.
Unfortunately, it's another one of those games that I feel has too much of a barrier to entry. Like, you are so lost if you don't.
Well, and that's the thing is doing. You have to have somebody like Heisenberg in there.
Yeah, that's a problem, though. Not everybody has the resources that, you know, you and I do, that we have people that play all these different games. So,
well, and it's an excellent, I mean, that's the thing is with him, it worked out very well. So, you know, that's something that if we're going to do it again, definitely have him there, because he made it to where we're able to get pretty far in the game in one night.
Yeah.
When otherwise we'd all be running around like chickens with our heads cut off, accomplishing nothing, just like we did in DayZ and
exactly every other survival game we played besides
every H1Z1. Other survival game we tried to play
besides H1Z1 and Ark. Every other game, it's exactly what the result is.
Yep.
So, okay. Want to do our?
Yep. So let's go ahead and roll for this last one. All right. So Node 40. So Node 40, you have one.
Nice.
Spelunky. So I will send you a link to that. Check your other folder. And it should be in there.
Yes, so. Definitely. So there you go. Okay. Just again, quick note, PSA. If you previously what'd you say?
Remember next week.
So let's do that. So here we go. We'll be live here next Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern for Infection, the Survival Podcast Monday. Still 7 o'clock Eastern, but Monday instead of Tuesday. So there you go. We'll see you next Monday. Other than that, podcast apps. Your favorite podcast app, make sure that we're listed in the directory. We were delisted for whatever reason out of a bunch of apps and iTunes.
Like 4 months ago.
Yeah, so we have been re-added into, I think, all of the apps that people have contacted us about. But if you would do so, please check and then send us a tweet. It's at InfectionCast, CAST. And then we'll contact the app or whatever and get that sorted out. So
definitely come back.
Yeah, significantly. Yeah, so that was our issue. All right.
Very good.
What's going on with you, Brian? Where can people find you?
Yeah, if you want to find me at Boise Computer, is where you can find me on Twitter. If you're going to go to Bite of Tech, that's BITE of tech.com. You can find me on my blog that has just a link to everywhere. If you haven't
any new
joined
blogs,
our Steam group.
Any new blogs coming out? Can we expect anything new?
Well, I'm waiting for a new version of my hosting software to come out, and I'm going to be writing something for that. But
great.
They just announced, because I asked them here a couple days ago when they're doing it, and it's coming out in October. So kind of waiting for that. But that's still, my blog is so niche that
niche,
most people have no clue. Yeah, no clue what I'm even talking about. So, and if you haven't joined our Steam group, make sure you go to infectionpodcast.com. On there, on the right-hand side, will be join our Steam group. You can go in there and that's a good way to follow and find us in games, because otherwise we'll have to add each person individually. So join our Steam group, join our Discord. We had plenty of people in there. It's been a lot of fun. People chat throughout the week. So if you're looking for just a good gaming type group of people, get into our Discord.
Yeah, discord.gg. I like that URL. It's fantastic.
Yep, and we have a link on the right-hand side of our website.
Link on the website. Okay, thank you, Brian. We'll see you Monday.
Yes.
For me, you could if you're a Gab's, a new social network. It's a Twitter ripoff. I don't know if anybody's on Gab yet, but if you are, you can follow me at Nick. Got a pretty prime username. I was the 96th person on there, so got a pretty prime username out there. Gab.ai. The other show I'm working on, Against the Norm, which is the news and political show. Check that out at atnshow.com. Of course, our website is infectionpodcast.com. Our Twitter's at infectioncast. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Join the Steam group. Join the Discord. Is the TeamSpeak server still up? Or is anybody still using it?
Running.
Have you been in it?
I haven't been in there since we switched to Discord.
Okay, so
I should probably check on it.
We should probably
make sure
it off
hasn't
the website
gone crazy.
Take it off the website too, because we don't use it anymore. So, yep, our Discord.
I should just shut it down.
You can find all that stuff here again next Monday. we will be here for the show. Guys, that is going to do it for episode 83 of Infection, the Survival Podcast. My name is Nick Craig. At Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. See you next week for Infection. Have a great week, everybody.